WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward.
Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Find out what's going on in the world, the state, and in your own backyard. This is a Civic Media Network News Update.
Good morning. It's 8 a.m. I'm Luke Mathers, and here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call's office is not confirming or denying any investigations into fake electors at this time. Civic Media's Stuart J. Waddles with more.
Earlier this week, the Michigan Attorney General announced state charges against 16 individuals in Michigan who falsely claimed the 2020 election in that state was won by former President Donald Trump. Wisconsin was one of several other battleground states that had efforts to create dueling slates of electors in an attempt to change the outcome of the 2020 election. The fake elector plot appears to be a subject of investigation for U.S. Special Counsel Jack Smith. Three of Wisconsin's top election officials confirmed interviews in recent months with federal investigators. Stuart J. Waddles, Civic Media News.
AG Call's office included in a statement yesterday a desire for accountability if crimes were committed to subvert the 2020 election. There's a new way of teaching reading in Wisconsin. Civic Media's Terry Bell with more.
It emphasizes phonics, which is the relationship between sounds and letters, over memorization. It also requires more reading tests and more coaches to help struggling students. The plan applies to public schools and private schools that get funding through vouchers. There's $50 million in the state budget for new curriculum materials, teacher training, and hiring reading coaches. Evers vetoed a similar bill last year because it offered less money. Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
Diplomats are talking about returning a soldier from Wisconsin to the United States. Travis King has been in North Korean custody since crossing the demilitarized zone Tuesday. King is a low-ranking private. National security expert Mick Mulroy tells ABC News he doesn't think Pyongyang will hold King for long.
He is so junior that he has probably very little intelligence value. And I do not think that the North Koreans view him as somebody that they can leverage for propaganda purposes, I hope.
King is from Racine. He served 47 days in a South Korean prison after a fight with locals in Seoul. He was supposed to be on his way to Fort Bliss, Texas to be discharged. An invasive species in Wisconsin is causing havoc on thousands of acres of forest. Spongy moss and invasive species from Europe are exploding in numbers around the state due to the dry, hot conditions throughout the spring and early summer. While caterpillars, spongy moss can strip an entire forest of its leaves. Specialists with the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources believe more than 200,000 acres in northern Wisconsin of mostly aspen trees have been defoliated due to spongy moss already this year. It may be the worst spongy moth outbreak in more than 10 years. And that's what Wisconsin needs to know. I'm Luke Mathers, and this is Civic Media News.
For Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, I'm Jimmy Kuska. Here's what you need to know in Amory. Powerful storms moved through the area last night with multiple funnel clouds reported across western Wisconsin. In Barron County, tennis ball-sized hail wrecked vehicles and the roof of the Rice Lake Walmart, crashing through skylights into the store. Across Eau Claire, Chippewa, and Dodd counties, wind gusts of 55 to 65 miles per hour were measured, knocking down large trees and damaging outbuildings. St. Croix County had hail and wind damage, while funnel clouds were spotted in Pierce County. Despite the severe weather, no injuries have been reported. Country Jam gets underway today north of Eau Claire. The festival is at its new digs off of Highway T after moving from its old home west of Eau Claire in the town of Union. Dirk Bentley, Lee Bryce, and Tim McGraw headline the event. And the National Weather Service says today things will be pleasant and sunny, highs around 80. From the Civic Media News Desk here in western Wisconsin, I'm Jimmy Kuska.
The crew with the win in Philly. Good morning, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Blake Perkins with a two-run double. Christian Yelich drives in a run. As the Brewers get past left-handed pitcher Christopher Sanchez with a 5-3 win over the Phillies. But the night belonged to Brewers catcher William Contreras. Jeff Leverin on Bally Sports Wisconsin.
What a night for William Contreras. 2-for-4. Trying to come up with a big hit again. And a line drive in the right center. He will. Contreras with an extra base hit. Another RBI double for William Contreras. Brewers lead it 5-3.
And that would be the final. Behind the plate, Contreras throwing out a base runner trying to steal second and catching a foul tip to end the game. Brewers manager Craig Counsell.
Yeah, I mean, he was, you know, all over the game for sure, offensively, defensively. You know, huge hit to give us an extra run, which changes that situation. And then a great throw to throw out Stotts. He made his impact felt every part of the game, and he's been playing at a really high level for a while now.
Milwaukee's now 10-4 for the month of July, tied with Boston for the best record this month in the major leagues. Game 3 of the series this afternoon at Citizens Bank Park. College football. Civil rights attorney Ben Crump says lawsuits are on the way in the Northwestern University hazing scandal.
Over 15 young men and women, it is apparent to us, it is a toxic culture that was rampant in the athletic department at Northwestern University.
NFL, the Packers have added another quarterback to the roster. He's 27-year-old Alex Magoo, a 7th-round pick for Seattle in 2018. He spent some time with the Seahawks, the Texans, and then talked about becoming the MVP of the USFL this year, leading Birmingham to a championship.
My first reason out there, probably would have ran. I would have used my athleticism to do something when I didn't need to. And this year, I'm really trying to key in on going through my reads, making sure I'm seeing the defense before the snap, confirming it post-snap, and going to where I have to go and letting my teammates work for me.
That's Packers backup quarterback Alex Magoo. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Morning, 6 minutes after 8 o'clock right now. Hope you're having a great day so far. It's the 20th day of July. Working our way through this month pretty quickly, it seems. And outside today, going to be another nice summery day. Up in Hayward, they've got cloudy skies this morning and then sunshine this afternoon. Everybody else on the west side of Wisconsin experiencing lots of sunshine today with highs ranging from about 76 degrees up in Hayward, up to about 80 degrees if you're down around Richland Center, La Crosse and Eau Claire in the upper 70s today. And in sports last night, did you get to see any of that Brewers game? They picked up another win last night, 5-3 over the Phillies, remaining 2.5 games over the Reds now, who also won last night. And the finale of that 3-game series against the Phillies is today in Philadelphia. And in the headlines today, there's good news if you're a Wisconsin taxpayer. Yep, Wisconsin taxpayers set to receive over $1 billion in savings over the next 2 years from the latest state budget. Also, according to a story in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, a possible Republican Senate candidate can't explain his spotty voting record or his positions on gun control and diversity, equity, and inclusion. Also in the news today, scientists from the University of Wisconsin have discovered a gut bacteria that can break down inflammatory chemicals in your body. That sounds like good news, right? Well, cover that today. And in a YouTube interview, Ron Johnson from Wisconsin was entertaining conspiracy theories about the assassination of President John Kennedy and the death of Jeffrey Epstein. Or is it Epstein? Anyway, as usual, Ron Johnson always has interesting things to say. And let's check in with the producer now. Hey, Aaron, how you doing today, brother?
Doing well. How about yourself?
Anything new at the worldwide headquarters of Civic Media today?
Not really. Just things are still going well. All of our core functionality is here, and we're slowly getting all the other extras sprinkled in.
Yeah.
That sounds good to me, man. Hey, the first story I want to get to today is a story about Wisconsin taxpayers getting to see over $1 billion in savings from that latest state budget that the governor just signed last week. And this is from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. And it's nice to have some extra money in our pockets. It says here, Wisconsin taxpayers are set to receive over $1 billion in state and local tax relief over the next 2 years from the latest state budget, according to a new report from the Wisconsin Policy Forum. And that report, which was released early this morning, found the $99 billion 2-year state budget signed into law by Governor Tony Evers earlier this month delivered historic aid increases to local governments and raised state spending by the highest rate this century, while simultaneously cutting state and local taxes and preserving much of the state's rainy day reserves. So that all sounds like good stuff, right? Here's a quote from the researchers who wrote the report. They said, state officials used an unprecedented nearly $7 billion surplus to do in the 2023 through 25 budget what once would have seemed impossible. Combine the largest increase in funding for public services in 3 decades with a relatively substantial package of tax cuts. And it says total state spending over the next 2 years rose, or I guess will rise, 11.7%, approximately twice the size of spending increases approved in the past 2 state budgets under Evers. Okay, so you got that? The total state spending over the next 2 years will rise 11.7%, which is about twice the size of spending increases in the past 2 budgets. The state, at the same time, retained $5.9 billion in reserves, including $1.8 billion in the state's rainy day fund and just over $4 billion in funds from a record high budget surplus of nearly $7 million heading into the latest budget cycle. So, in all, spending will exceed tax revenues by about $2.8 billion over the next 2 years. It's the state's first spending deficit after several years of substantial surpluses, though the increase is less than half of the funding increases projected under the budget plan from Republicans on the state's budget writing committee and Evers' original executive budget from February. So what that means is even though we had that $7 billion surplus, we're still going to retain a big portion of that, even with these big increases in spending and with the tax cuts. So it says here that much of the surplus money retained in the final budget came from Evers' decision to veto the Republican proposed tax cut for Wisconsin's second highest tax bracket, which covers married filers who earn between $37,000 and $405,000. Evers' partial veto reduced the average tax cut per filer from $405 to $25 for a 95% reduction in overall tax spending. That move slashed tax relief for middle and especially upper-class Wisconsinites, those who make the most money, but still retained over $3 billion in surplus funds, according to this new report that just came out today. It says the governor's decision to veto additional tax cuts for the state's second-highest tax bracket triggered immediate attacks from Republicans who claimed the Democratic governor screwed, and that's in quotation marks, middle-class taxpayers. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, Republican from Rochester, vowed Republicans would stand up and fight to restore the tax cuts and suggested a vote to override Evers' veto could come this summer. Evers told CBS 58 on Monday During a stop in Montello, he was willing to negotiate a new tax cut bill as long as Republicans avoided giving tax cuts to the wealthiest Wisconsinites. The governor promised to reject tax cuts for the wealthy before the state budget writing cycle began earlier this year. Those Republicans also attacked Evers earlier this month for using his broad partial veto authority to increase public school funding allowances for the next four centuries. That surprise move ensured districts' state-imposed limits on how much revenue they are allowed to raise would increase by a record high $325 per student each year until the year 2425, creating a permanent annual stream of new revenue for public schools. And Voss said last week on WISN's Upfront, Republicans were preparing to sue the governor over his school funding veto and considering introducing a proposed constitutional amendment to further limit partial veto powers for Wisconsin governors. So they want to take the power of the veto pen away from the governor. And as you may know, it's been cut back a little bit over the past few decades. But as we just saw when the governor signed the budget, he still has quite a bit of power and quite a few ways to change the budget. It says here that Republican lawmakers at the time warned the increase could trigger property tax hikes because districts would need to raise property taxes to leverage the 400-year revenue limit expansion. However, this new report that just came out today says Thursday's report expected expanded tax credits and increases in shared revenue funding for local governments, as well as the elimination of the personal property tax and new sales taxes in Milwaukee to counteract school aid increases for a more modest property tax increase over the next 2 years. Notably, public funding for private voucher and independent charter schools is expected to rise faster than, but still remain funding for public schools, the report concluded. That's a hard to understand sentence. But anyway, that's the story on the tax cuts, over $1 billion in savings in this new budget. And I think that's good news for all of us. At 17 and a half minutes after 8 o'clock, going to take a quick break. Everybody stick around. You're tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show.
Larry. Mary, it's your mom. Did you know the Civic Media Network covers the whole state of Wisconsin? They can help your business get the word out, whether you want to reach a smidge of folks or just want the whole kit and caboodle. Call 608-819-8255. Okay then, bye.
This weather brought to you by Amory Theater and Coffee Bar. On Thursday, see The Princess Bride. And starting Friday, July 21st, enjoy Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs 2 and Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix. Get more details at AmoryTheater.com.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Ready for our little forest adventure?
Yes!
So much waiting for me. Yeah, I wanna go outside. I wanna be.
We're here.
Whoa, that was fast.
There's a forest closer than you think. Find a park or forest near you and music inspired by nature. DiscoverTheForest.org. Brought to you by USDA Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast. A blend of clouds and sun today, with daytime highs approaching 76. Northerly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Mainly clear tonight, lows around 53. Slight chance for scattered thunderstorms tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 81. Lots of sunshine. Low 80s Saturday, with a chance for scattered storms. Mid 80s, mainly sunny skies Sunday. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air, WLAK, 1260 AM. Right now, 63.
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. 12:15, Town Call. 1 p.m., The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn directs WLAK.
I have to ask the music gods if it's okay to interrupt Carlos Santana when he's wailing. The birthday boy, Carlos Santana, turning 76 years old today. Man, it's hard to believe, but still going strong, still performing out there on the road. He's had a residency in Las Vegas for quite a while, and he has had to cancel some shows in recent months, but he still keeps coming back and still sounds as great as ever. 25 and a half minutes after 8 o'clock right now on this Thursday morning, you're tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show. And the next thing I wanted to cover is this new reading education bill that was signed by Governor Evers. And this could be good news for our students who have had some difficulties with these reading scores in recent years. I have a headline here from the Wisconsin State Journal. It says, Wisconsin reading education is overhauled under a bill signed by Governor Tony Evers. And this was just posted this morning. It says here, the state will spend $50 million to create a new literacy office, hire reading coaches, and help cover the cost of new phonics-based reading curricula under a Republican-authored bill signed into law by Governor Tony Evers on Wednesday. The Democratic governor said the bill, which aims to address lagging reading scores among Wisconsin students by increasing the number of reading readiness assessments for students in 4K through second grade, is a step in the right direction. He added that additional K-12 spending on matters ranging from mental health services to school lunches remains a top priority. Here's a quote. This is from the governor in a statement said, so if we want to improve outcomes for kids in our classrooms across the board, this bill is only one small part of the work we have to do. We must continue making meaningful investments in our kids and our schools, bolster our education workforce to help keep class sizes small, and expand access to mental health services and healthy meals in our schools so our kids can bring their full and best selves to our classrooms. That's from a statement that Evers released. And that bill, by the way, Assembly Bill 321, was introduced earlier this summer and largely mirrored legislation the governor vetoed last legislative session. The bill originally would have held back students who score poorly on their third grade reading assessment, an idea that drew strong opposition from the State Department of Public Instruction and Governor Evers, who threatened to veto the measure. And ultimately, the bill passed and the governor signed it yesterday. So could be good news for our students. Got to take a quick break. Stick around. You're tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show.
Summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. Beginning at 6, Up North News. Then at 8, Stu Daniels on Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
ABC News, I'm Faith Abubank. Major damage in Rocky Mount, North Carolina. An EF3 tornado ripping through, destroying a Pfizer plant, damaging homes and topping trees and leaving parts of I-95 impassable for a time. So far, no reported death.
The most damage to human life and the most injuries come at the aftermath of an event, whether it's a tornado or hurricane.
Nash County Sheriff Keith Stone urging residents to stay indoors as emergency crews clear roads and repair power lines. In the meantime, though, dangerous heat still impacting southern and western states from California to Florida. 10 million Americans on alert. Phoenix broke an all-time record yesterday with a low of 97 degrees. And in Kentucky, flash flooding from torrential rain led the governor to declare a state of emergency. The heat also fueling wildfires in Greece. Hot and dry conditions has fires west of Athens burning for a fourth day. Thousands of people have fled their homes. This is ABC News.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
For Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, I'm Jimmy Cuska. Here's what you need to know in Amory. Powerful storms moved through the area last night with multiple funnel clouds reported across western Wisconsin. In Barron County, tennis ball-sized hail wrecked vehicles and the roof of the Rice Lake Walmart, crashing through skylights into the store. Across Eau Claire, Chippewa, and Dodd counties, wind gusts of 55 to 65 miles per hour were measured, knocking down large trees and damaging outbuildings. St. Croix County had hail and wind damage, while funnel clouds were spotted in Pierce County. Despite the severe weather, no injuries have been reported. Country Jam gets underway today north of Eau Claire. The festival is at its new digs off of Highway T after moving from its old home west of Eau Claire in the town of Union. Dirk Bentley, Lee Bryce, and Tim McGraw headline the event. And the National Weather Service says today things will be pleasant and sunny, highs around 80. From the Civic Media News Desk here in western Wisconsin, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
Hi, I'm Joey Erickson from Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, and here are some events that are coming up in our community.
On July 19th, the Committee of the Whole meeting will be held at 5 p.m. in Amory City Hall. In the meeting, discussion will occur relating to any changes being made in the municipal government. The financial health as well as the city's operations will be reviewed during this meeting. On Friday, July 21st, bring friends and family and see the Culpeper and Meriwether Great Combined Circus, sponsored by the Amory Lions Club. The circus takes place in Soldiers Field, located at Harriman Avenue South and Memorial Drive. Show start at 5 and 7 p.m. Get your tickets in advance at Chet Johnson's Drugstore or Innovative Planning Group in Amory. And on July 26th, stop by Michael Park, enjoy a free concert, listen to the Rowe Family Singers Bluegrass at 6 p.m.
If you have an event you'd like us to tell others about, let me know. Email me at joey.erickson@civicmedia.us, and we'll tell the community all about it. Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
Pursuing the truth wherever it may lead. The Todd Albus Show, weekday afternoons from 1 till 3. Join the conversation. Get involved. The Todd Albus Show on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Right now, welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show. Hope you're having a good day so far. We're discussing several different topics in the news. It's like, where do we even go next? There's so many stories going on, both locally and nationally. And let me talk to my producer here, Aaron. And I know you're a guy who follows politics pretty closely. And do you know who Scott Meyer is. Have you ever heard of that guy?
I'm not sure. The name sounds kind of familiar, but there's a lot of people named Scott, so.
I hear you, man. Well, in case you're not familiar with the name Scott Meyer, he's one of the people that the Republicans are thinking about putting up against Senator Tammy Baldwin for the election next year for the U.S. Senate seat. And like my producer, Aaron, most people don't know who he is. And for some reason, Republicans are having a hard time getting anybody to jump into that race. And I'm not surprised, because I think most people will agree that Tammy Baldwin has done a great job. And even a lot of people who are not Democrats think that she's done a good job. And that's why she keeps getting reelected. And I think most people would say that she's out there fighting for the people. And that's why these Republicans may have a difficult time finding somebody to jump into that race. Daniel Bice of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel has some information about this guy, Scott Meyer, who is supposed to be one of the most likely people to jump into the race. The headline says possible U.S. Senate candidate can't explain his spotty voting record or his positions on gun control and DEI, which, as we know, is the diversity, equity, and inclusion issue. And this piece from Bice starts out by saying that Franklin businessman Scott Meyer says he's going to be a different type of candidate if he decides to take on U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin next year. How different? Consider this. Meyer, a Republican, hasn't voted in many recent elections, including the 2020 presidential primary and the 2020 general election. But he's at a loss for words when asked to explain. Quote, I didn't vote, and I couldn't even recall that I didn't, said Meyer, chairman of the staffing and recruitment company QPS Employment Group. His quote says, I don't know why. I mean, I don't have a good reason. Now, is that somebody we want as our U.S. senator? Daniel Bice from the Journal Sentinel goes on and says he also has given to numerous Republican presidential candidates over the past 20 years, except former President Donald Trump, but doesn't recall having done so. Okay, now the fact that he has given to numerous Republican presidential candidates over the past 20 years, but did not give money to Donald Trump, I'm not going to hold that against him. I think anybody that gives Donald Trump money doesn't sound, I mean, he's supposed to be a multimillionaire, right? Or a billionaire. But anyway, it says here he has written on social media that people with mental illnesses should not own guns, right? That doesn't sound like something you want to argue with. But he isn't certain whether he favors stricter background checks. So how would you find out about the people with the mental illnesses? Maybe stronger background checks would help us find out more about who should be able to own guns and who should not. Getting back to the piece here, it says, finally, Meyer is a big advocate for diversity, equity, and inclusion initiatives in private business, including his own firm, but he's unclear whether others should do the same. He says, if it works for business, why wouldn't it work for other places? Said the 58-year-old Republican. I would think so, but you know, again, Dan, I'm not even a candidate for anything, right? Well, it certainly doesn't sound like it. Republicans right now are desperately scrambling to find a candidate to run against Tammy Baldwin, who is seeking her third term. Their number one pick, U.S. Representative Mike Gallagher, has bowed out, saying he will seek re-election next year. U.S. Representative Brian Stile, a Janesville Republican, has also said he's not running. That leaves the state Republican, the state GOP, with a group of second-tier possibilities, including Madison businessman Eric Hovde, U.S. Representative Tom Tiffany, former Milwaukee County Sheriff David A. Clark Jr., and former State Senator Roger Roth and Meyer. Last week, Scott Meyer said he was not eager to immediately jump into the upcoming Senate race, but he suggested that he might take on the challenge if no other potential contender steps forward. So he's your last choice. But anyway, Meyer told the Journal Sentinel, "I don't want to do it because I'm the only one left and I have to, but that's certainly a possibility." How's that for having fire in the belly? But the picture gets much more complicated when you begin to drill down, even just a little, into Scott Meyer's record. Does the guy, for instance, vote regularly? Not really. In 2018, he didn't cast a ballot at all, meaning he missed out in the hotly contested gubernatorial race between Democrat Tony Evers and Republican incumbent Scott Walker. Incredibly, he also sat out the primary and general U.S. Senate races won by Tammy Baldwin, the same person he's now talking about challenging. His record was no better in 2020. He didn't cast a ballot in the crucial presidential primary and general elections in Wisconsin between incumbent Republican Donald Trump and Democratic challenger Joe Biden. In an interview, Meyer acknowledged that he had no excuses. The businessman said he might have been on the road but didn't consider casting an absentee ballot. He said it was only recently that he began to take a real interest in a possible political career. Quote, "It's not like I was voting in the past to make sure I had a spotless record for when I ran," Meyer said. He added that, "I don't have a good answer for you. I just don't." Well, at least he's honest, right? That's more than you can say about many politicians these days. And that's not to say the guy has been sitting on the sidelines. Over the years, he's given $125,000 to Republican candidates in state and federal races, plus another $21,000 to conservative judicial candidates, including $20,000 to unsuccessful Supreme Court candidate Dan Kelly. Meyer even donated a total of $8,950 to Republican candidates in four of the last five presidential races, including $2,700 each to failed Republican contenders Carly Fiorina and Ben Carson in the year 2015. Not that he has any recollection of writing these checks. Quote, "I know that I've given to people," he said. "I never knew that I actually gave to presidential candidates. I typically wouldn't do that, not because I don't support them or support them. I just have never supported at that high of a level. At least that's my memory." End quote. Any reason he's not given to Trump? And here he says he's a billionaire. So, you know, he's been able to help himself quite a bit. So I don't know, but I don't have a good answer, which seems to be Mr. Meyer's answers for quite a few questions. This piece from Daniel Bice goes on and says he said he did vote for Trump in 2016, but when asked who he was supporting for 2024, he said, "I don't have an opinion at this point." Outside of making donations, Meyer has not been very active in politics, but there's one issue that he's engaged in on Facebook: gun violence. In November of 2018, he posted a USA Today story saying there had been 307 mass shootings in the first 311 days of the year after 13 people were killed at a country music bar in Thousand Oaks, California. Quote, "This expletive has got to stop," he wrote. "Guns and mental illness don't go together. This guy had big time mental illness issues and he still had guns. How ridiculous," end quote. Around the same time, another person on Facebook suggested social media background checks for anyone wanting to own a gun. Meyer responded with the word amen. Sounds like a guy who, unlike many Republican lawmakers, would favor stricter background checks or perhaps red flag laws in which state courts temporarily take away firearms from people believed to present a danger to others or to themselves. Or maybe not. Quote, "Now, if you ask me for the solution and the answer, I have no idea. And obviously, everybody's struggling with that," Meyer said. "So, you know, unfortunately, I'm just not far enough along to be educated and giving you good feedback. But as a taxpaying citizen like you, just like you, I cringe. I hate what's happening, but I don't have a good answer as to how to fix it." End quote. Gotcha. Let's try one more. Meyer was a member of the Metropolitan Milwaukee Area of Commerce Board. Myers was a member of the Metropolitan Milwaukee Area of Commerce Board when it established a region of choice program to reduce racial disparities at area businesses by encouraging them to recruit, retain, and advance Black and brown employees. The plan was to boost minority employment by 15% and minority management by 25%. His firm is listed as one of the 125 businesses who have signed the Region of Choice Pledge for the program, which has held two diversity, equity, and inclusion summits in Milwaukee since July of last year. And his quote says, "I was behind that, and I made sure our company was behind that. We want to do right. We want to make sure that we do right by people. So absolutely, I'm 100% behind that." But Wisconsin Republican lawmakers just spent weeks fighting DEI efforts in the University of Wisconsin and the city of Milwaukee. So does he think his Republican colleagues, led by Robin Voss, were misguided? His answer, once again, he doesn't know. The guy just doesn't know. So, yeah, I guess you could say that he's probably better than many Republican candidates, even though he doesn't have an answer for anything. At least he's not trying to destroy democracy, right? 8:47 right now. Stick around. You're tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show.
This weather brought to you by Amory Theater and Coffee Bar. On Thursday, see The Princess Bride. And starting Friday, July 21st, enjoy Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs 2 and Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix. Get more details at amorytheater.com.
More than 80 million Americans depend on AM radio each month for news, weather, and emergency information. A new bill in Congress would make sure AM radio remains in cars. Because when cell and internet services are down, this free service could be your only lifeline. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
It's summertime in Wisconsin, and whatever the weather, it will impact you and your plans.
Should I water the garden? Will our event be rained out? Count on your local Civic Media radio station for in-depth details and the most up-to-date forecast.
Temperatures are rising into the mid and upper 70s under sunny skies.
It's your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow, Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories. Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Here's your updated forecast. A blend of clouds and sun today with daytime highs approaching 76. Northerly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Mainly clear tonight, lows around 53. Slight chance for scattered thunderstorms tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 81, lots of sunshine. Low 80s Saturday with a chance for scattered storms. Mid 80s, mainly sunny skies Sunday.
I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air, WLAK, 1260 AM. Right now, 62.
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. At 10, As Goes Wisconsin. Then at noon, Civic Media Network News. On Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right. Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right. Get up, stand up, stand up for your right. Get up, stand up, don't give up the fight.
Preacher man, don't tell me heaven is under the earth. I know you don't know what life is really worth. Is it all that Peter is going?
Daniel's show, 8:52 right now, and I do have some news from Eau Claire. Don't get a whole lot of news coming out of Eau Claire, but we do have a piece here from Tuesday. This is originally from WQOW. It says the Eau Claire County Board of Supervisors has a new chair. After a close vote at Tuesday night's meeting, the county board voted 15-12 to appoint Nancy Coffey. Coffey has served on the board for the past 5 years. She represents District 10, which covers part of the town of Washington and some of the southern portion of Eau Claire. Stella Pagonis was also nominated. The vote comes a week after the supervisors voted to oust former chair Nick Smyar from the seat. He was removed as chair during a special session in which supervisors discussed what to do after the Eau Claire County Sheriff's Office released their investigative report on the County Department of Human Services. Smyar, who has been on the board since 2010, is still a board member. He represents District 15, which is the Randall Park neighborhood between downtown and the university. So a little bit of news coming out of Eau Claire. And hey, Aaron, have you ever heard of a dessert called Baked Alaska?
I have. I honestly don't remember what it is, but I know I've heard of it.
Well, that's all that matters. Let me tell you, Baked Alaska right now evidently is referring to the state of Alaska. This is not about a dessert this time. This is a headline from USA Today. It says, climate changes, extreme heat is baking Alaska and creating national security problems. This is could be a pretty important, something that's important to all of us as citizens of the United States if it's creating national security problems. The dateline is Fairbanks, Alaska. Says here from USA Today, with extreme heat blanketing the country, chilly Alaska has become baked Alaska, and that is impacting national security. Temperatures in the Arctic, which encompasses large parts of Alaska, have risen at 2 to 4 times the rate of the rest of the world. Rising seas on Alaska's shoreline have forced the Pentagon to fortify radar sites covering the kind of sensors that picked up the Chinese spy balloon in January. High temperatures and spikes in summer rains are melting permafrost at places like Eielson Air Force Base near here, near Fairbanks, requiring millions of dollars in fixes for buildings sinking into sodden ground. Summer wildfires burning Canadian forests have closed vital training ranges and warplanes in Alaska. Sprawling Alaska isn't the buffer that it used to be for Pentagon bases. The spy balloon that penetrated U.S. airspace in January entered the United States over the Aleutian Islands. Spies from China have probed sensitive military sites in Alaska's interior, USA Today has reported, and vanishing sea ice has opened shipping lanes to Chinese and Russian military and commercial vessels. This piece here from the USA Today goes on and says the Pentagon has responded by beefing up its presence in Alaska in recent years. The Air Force bases its most sophisticated fighter jets in the state. The Space Force has a new $1 billion radar installation, and the Army is adding soldiers to the newly formed 11th Airborne Division to focus on Arctic warfare. The new emphasis comes with a cost, billions in construction to protect against rising seas, melting permafrost, according to experts and budget documents. Quote, "There is a significant change afoot in the Arctic region," said Iris Ferguson, Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense for Arctic and Global Resilience. First, climate change is very much impacting operations on the ground. There's changing permafrost. There's coastal erosion. It's causing us to rethink how and where we need to operate and how and where we need to defend our interests. The Pentagon's strategy for the Arctic, including Alaska, makes clear the stakes in securing the far north. It's an avenue to attack the U.S. homeland, the Pentagon's inspector general noted in a 2022 report. So for your friends that say that climate change is just a hoax, tell them that the Pentagon and the U.S. military is scrambling right now to take care of our defenses in Alaska and the Arctic because of all the melting ice, the permafrost, ocean ice, etc. Got to take a quick break. Everybody stick around. You're tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show.
Call, the Civic Media Network of stations can deliver your business's message to the entire state of Wisconsin.
Or your hometown.
Marketing plans that work for your business. One call can do it all. Civic Media, 608-819-8255.
It's so hot. Wait, now it's going to rain? It is summer in Wisconsin.
As much as we love it, we love to hate it too. Find a forecast you can count on along with the in-depth details you need, only from the Civic Media Weather Team.
These extended conditions have led us into a flash drought. Sitting in these above average temperatures with minimal rain has swiftly altered the local climate.
Your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
Hey, son.
How are you feeling?
You're listening to WLAK 1260 AM Amory and WBZH 910 AM W245 CT Hayward.
Always streaming on the Civic ABC Media.